You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is Pancakes and Bacon with VFL, Kyler Kurbison, and Reed Bacon.
Hello, Vol Nation. Welcome to another episode of Pancakes and Bacon. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Kurbison, joined with Reed Bacon. Got a great one today because we are talking about practice.
Practice?
Yeah, we're talking about practice. Me and Reed both got a chance to stop by the facility on Saturday. Reed had to skedaddle before I did with the media guys. And I stayed for a little bit longer, had to watch a couple things and just look at a few guys and see where they're progressing, see what they look like. Just, hey, you know, how will they have any impact? Will they be able to help this team? All that kind of stuff. So we're going to dive into all that. Great podcast. But first, before we do any of that stuff, most important thing, Reed. How we doing, bud?
What's up, Leo? Just eating some kava. Dude, kava is delicious, by the way.
What is kava?
What is kava? So Megan was trying to get me to go for like a year, and I always put her off. Finally, I went. Now I'm obsessed. It's like a Mediterranean Chipotle. It's delicious. And we have one right on top of Beer and Hill, like 40 seconds away from my new house. So I go there a lot. Anyways.
How's the back doing? How's the back doing?
Dude, I'm telling you, the Lord is always good to me. From when I messed it up years ago, from when I messed it up at Orange Theory, when I messed it up in the fall from sneezing after getting out of the shower, all of those, it's, hey, take a week, don't work out, walk, therapy. But this time was the worst. I mean, your boy was down and out on the ground for 20 minutes. So I'm like, how long is this going to take? But I just walked, therapy, rested, took my muscle relaxers at night, anti-inflammatories. And by Friday, it was much better than Saturday and Sunday. I was like in pretty darn good shape. And now Monday, it was great to be back in the gym. And so right now it's feeling good. I got a big pillow back here for me.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm very fortunate. Very, very fortunate. So
good. Good. Yeah. I'm glad you're feeling better. You don't have to stand the entire podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say this. It was still great to it wasn't our normal experience going to practice, but it was still great. I genuinely always love being over there and just watching ball. I always love seeing you, but I do have to call myself out on the fact that when we first started going to this, and I didn't mean for it to come off as snooty or rude, but it just, it truly is me being a competitor. And when I would get into this, before I really knew what it all was, I'm like, dude, yeah. these guys are saying all this stuff. They're putting all this stuff in, like, they don't know what they're talking about. Like, they don't get to watch all the practice, and they really are only reporting what UT is kind of pushing. And that's that is facts. Like,
that's what UT, they're letting them report.
Exactly. And they don't get it twisted, folks. Like, UT is definitely got their hand and prints on a lot of the media stuff. So anyways, it was just the fact that when we went a couple times and I was laughing at them leaving, and then this time, technically I wasn't like asked to or anything. Like, it was still very cool because we got there much earlier than most people. And so they were still very relaxed about you and I going in there. That's one thing I do love about it is, like, they're strict and they make sure that there's protocols in place and some Tom, Dick, and Harry's not walking in the building. But then again, like, they're great about with former players, the ladies just let you in. And you kind of just go and do your thing, and then you see all your people that you know and talk with them that are former players or trainers or equipment people, whatever. So you and I got to be there early, which was great. Or for me, it was great because I got to at least start seeing, okay, hey, that's this person. That's what they look like size-wise. Did they get bigger? What do they look like as a true freshman? So that was great. But I wanted to be respectful. And like when the other media guys started heading out, I said, all right, I'm gonna head out in deuces. And even though, like, I get it, I don't really consider myself a media person. Well, I don't at all. But, like, I'm going to be respectful.
I never thought you were coming across as like, you know, I'm better than anybody or anything like that. Whenever you mentioned that, like, the media guys don't get to see anything, I always saw it as like, hey, just letting you all know that they are there for 15 minutes. Right. So like, if you see them say something about someone at practice and say, hey, this person had a good practice, we saw him do something or something along those lines, it's like they can't get that information from their own eyes. They have to either get it from someone else who was at practice, a coach or a player, or it's like they're just making it up. So it was just to inform fans, hey, if they're saying anything about the specific practice, it is information they were fed, or it's the first 15 minutes, what information they were got in the first 15 minutes. And that's not a bad thing. That is literally how every school is set up. That's how every football team is. And every football team lets the local media know what they want them to know.
Yeah.
I mean, that is how it works.
Yeah. And I think for me, I do have a much more appreciation, obviously, especially working with Rocky Top Insider and like getting to know Jack, getting to know Ryan, getting to know Rick. And like, I do have a very, like, I went back and read, matter of fact, the first person I called when I left was Ryan, and we chopped it up and talked because he's obviously been to a lot of the mm-hmm. practices about stuff. And we chopped it up for a minute, but I read his article and I love what Ryan said. He was like, hey, this is what we get to see. I'm there for 15 minutes, but this is what I did observe. And I thought everything that he's put in there was spot on. And I appreciate that he notified, like, these guys weren't practicing. This is what I saw. And so I thought it was great. But yeah, I just kind of had to call myself out on that. And it all came from a spot of being competitive, getting frustrated. But now you've been around it a little bit longer, so you kind of understand the game behind it. I say all that to say, let's talk practice. I know you guys didn't care about that 7 minutes. I got some quick thoughts. Then you give your quick thoughts, and then we dive in. The only thing I ask you not to repeat, because I am going to save it, is some of those nugs, those little nuggies that we got from the individual that was standing there talking to us. I don't know if you were going to drop those in at a certain time, but don't drop them in at the quick hits. Drop them in when we were talking about that position group. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, just very quick thoughts, nothing in order. Dante, very imposing as a wide receiver. I know we saw him, I guess, last year, or maybe I didn't see him last year. I don't know. Anyway, saw him. It's nice to see him back from injury. Dude's imposing as a wide receiver. Dylan, opposite. I love Dylan. You're not going to find many more Dylan Sampson fans than the two of us. Dude is slight. Like, he's not a big dude. Like, Jabari, not a big guy, but still a little bit thicker in some areas. Jabari, what was our other receiver? How am I forgetting about our other running back?
Jalen Wright.
Yeah, Jalen Wright. Sorry, I wanted to say Jamal. Jalen Wright, like, thick dude. But I see Dylan, I'm right next to him, and I'm like, I love him. Love everything about him. It does concern me. And we'll get there. Now talking about another running back, Deshaun Bishop, local kid, walk-on, coming in this year, like, looks good, looks put together. Like, love I was him. Like, okay. I was like, and he's not a
big guy.
He's not a big guy, but in his frame, looks great. Chris Brazel or whatever his last name is. I'm sorry, that sounded bad. Not whatever his last name is. I just forget how to pronounce it or whatever. I can look it up actually because I have it up, but not to be disrespectful to him. But Chris, the transfer receiver. Yeah, Brazel maybe. Maybe it is that. I looked at you and I said, I don't think Buddy's 6'5". Now, you look at Dante, that looks like a legit 6'5". You look at Chris, that does not look like a legit 6'5". He looked the exact same size as as a Caleb Webb. Looked just a little bit taller than a Nathan Leacock. Once again, not that it's bad or different. I'm just saying quick things that I'm noticing with my eyes when I'm seeing there enough for me to point out. And he's a slender guy. He's a slender guy, but I didn't think he was the height that I was expecting. I joke that Jake Merklinger is a little Kirk Cousins, just looks like a little pros pro out there with how he's swagged out, dressed, looks like how he handles himself, demeanor. One of the things you and I were talking about on the way there, what's the backup situation? I was like, no way a freshman is the backup. You know, we were like, it's probably going to be Gaston Moore. All I noticed when Hype Daddy was right in front of us, by the way, it was so funny because I like made eye contact with him. And he looked at us, and it was when you were talking with the, I guess it's the head athletic trainer that you always talk to, one of your buddies. Yeah. And Heupel was like looking over. And obviously Heupel's not an idiot. He probably knows that you're the former player. I know he's met you a couple times. Don't know if he remembers you, whatever. He talks to a lot of people. He looked over, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, this is going to be so embarrassing. But he's like, what's going on here? Obviously he did it, but he was talking with Gaston Moore the entire time. The entire time during warm-ups when the quarterbacks were doing their thing. Heupel was right there, and they were having a conversation. Routes on air, and I know Ryan put this in his article because he and I talked about this. It was horrendous. I was surprised by that. These are Division I high level recruits, and it was terrible. I mean, I've seen high school guys do better. Routes on air, if you all don't know, it's just quarterbacks, receivers, pitch and catch, running routes, and they were doing all red zone. So 20, 25 and in. And the amount of balls that just were not completed or the balls that were dropped or the throws that weren't
done. It was both. It was both groups. It wasn't just like all quarterbacks or all wide receivers. Like there were drops, blatant drops. There were just blatant overthrows and misses too.
And it was just, you don't want to see that. And I looked at you, Kyler, and I'm like, I'm not trying to have high expectations or sound like I could do better or other thing. I said, but this is the University of Tennessee. And I know people have some bad days, but as a collective group, it was pretty atrocious. And it's just a bummer to see. Once again, take everything we have with a grain of salt. This is one practice of one spring practice. So one practice of 20, 15 or 20. And we were there for, you know, I was there a limited time. You were there for much longer, but still you didn't stay the entire time. But just, it was a bummer to see. Other than that, those were my quick thoughts before we start getting in to position group. What do you say?
Yeah. I mean, calling out those guys with, you know, good sizes and stuff like that. Another one was Holden Stage, the tight end. Good frame to him, good size kid. Like, looks the part of a big tight end who can help pass a game and running game. That project, Emmanuel Okio, or however you say his name, from Nigeria or somewhere. I don't even remember exactly where he's from, but has a pretty good body on him. Like, I was like, oh, that's where that guy is. And they had him over at the end, and it was so funny, like, watching him during, like, and, you know, we'll get into it, like, one of the team things. He's just like, he stands there and just stares over at the coach like, okay. And then gets down in his stance and does the play. And then the next thing, he just like, okay. Like, they're just like giving him specific things to like rush or like go at this person.
They still have him listed. Listed as tight end on the roster. So
I might have just broke some news. I don't know.
Maybe they're just trying himself. We always talk about that. Spring practice, they do that crap all the time.
No, I know. They jump people around. I mean, for instance, like seeing Shamrod at guard, I was like, I didn't expect that. I wasn't expecting him to like get guard reps, but at the same time, it's an offensive lineman. Get as many reps, as many positions as you possibly can. And the way he's built, he's got that huge base, short legs, and it's just like squatty and all of his weight's in his legs. It's like, all right. I mean, that might make sense for a guard. But overview, even though that routes on air wasn't going great, I did still think that there was good competition happening in the drills that I saw. There was good fire back and forth, good effort between people, bringing a pop at certain points. So I was happy with what I saw, because that's the part that you want, and it can seem sometimes lackadaisical after a scrimmage, because it's like, God, I'm tired. This, we just had a scrimmage. This is almost the end of spring practice. I don't really feel like going out today, just kind of lackadaisical about the whole thing. Or it's like, hey, you just spent the past day and a half watching film with your coaches of the scrimmage. And the whole time they were like, this, and just like drilling it into your head. This is what needs to happen. This is what needs to happen on this play. Are you taking that out there and doing something with it? So it's like, as an observer, I don't get to know what that is, but just the competitiveness between people can tell me what kind of mindset they're in. So I thought it was competitive in certain drills.
I don't want to beat a dead horse, but man, this is legitimately the sixth time in his 3 years that I've been, and all of them are great practices. I'm not just saying that. I mean, I feel there's not been one time that you and I have gone, and the people and the coaches that are there do not seem like, A, that they're enjoying it, but that they're getting the most out of it, and that everyone is there to work. Now, we're not locked in. We're not in the meetings. We're not in the huddle, so we don't know if someone is not giving the full effort that – the coach maybe wants for them, or maybe they are a little frustrated and kind of dragging ass in a little way. Every time I've been there, it's always been super positive, a super good culture, working hard, working with one another. And I think that is very important to mention and to always mention. And I'll be worried if I ever go and it doesn't feel that way. But I also get when Heupel talks about his dudes at the end and there's like a bad loss, Missouri or Florida, and he still compliments these guys and appreciates them. I've never gotten where he coach speaks, but I've never gotten it to where I thought he was BSing. And I can get that. I get that, because even if you lose, you still, as a coach or as a competitor, still have that love for your teammate or for your coaches or for your players. If you felt like they gave you everything they had, and then you just feel bad that, hey, I didn't maybe do enough to get them a W. And so I think that just speaks big volumes of him, that these guys are always there working and always seems like a good culture.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're not like throwing blame around like freaking Doc Rivers right now, like throwing blame on literally everyone but himself.
Tough scene. All right. Let's dive in. Just go position by position. You want to?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
You have a certain angle you want to go? Which one first?
We can go offense first. You know that I'm going to have some things to say about O-line.
Go start O-line so I can finish these last couple bites. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to scarf this down. Just talk a little O-line. Go with what you saw, what you feel. And then I'll jump in on a few key things, and then we'll go next from there.
Yeah. So I do want to start by saying this. There were a good amount of people not practicing on Saturday. I am not going to say who was not practicing, because there are a plethora of reasons why some of them are not practicing. Some are actually injured. Some might need just some rest. Go ahead.
Ryan put it in. So it's already public knowledge. Like, Ryan put it in the thing of who wasn't practicing. So you can say it.
Well, there are certain people who might have put on pads for the first 15 minutes and then took them off.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say anybody's name because I don't want to be that guy. Definitely not. And yeah, like I said, actually injured, maybe a little tweaked. Maybe they just want to rest him and they're giving a older guy a day, like, to not have to practice. So it's like, I'm not even really going to talk about the people that weren't practicing, just people that were. The biggest offensive lineman that I wanted to look at was Lance Hurd, who's the transfer from LSU. Lance, good body for a tackle. Long legs, long arms. He looks the part. Probably maybe a couple inches taller than I am, and has a smooth pass set. I really, really like his pass set, his hands, his ability to stay square and stay on the inside half of the defender. He did a very good job versus James, versus Caleb Herring, versus – who else did I see him go against? I can't remember off the top of my head. But when he is in pass pro, he's a legit left tackle. Now, when it comes to run blocking, he's high. He is very chest forward. And he's not really setting himself up for success. That you know, gets me a little bit. It is very much like, look, dude, you got the length over people. You got strength. You're not using it. You're literally not using any of the skills that you have. When you come at people high and hit your hands on the outside and not strike a breastplate, like, you're not using skills that you have and attributes that you have. You're wasting them. And there are times in, you know, never met Lance before. He has no clue who I am. So first practice, I'm not going to go up to this dude and be like, hey, work your hands inside. You know what I mean? Like, there are a couple guys in the past, and like Cooper or Cade, that like I've known before they were there. So it's like I felt comfortable talking to him. But yeah, great pass pro. Love that for Lance. But needs to work on his run blocking, especially single blocks, him versus defensive end. Not double teams, not down blocks, him versus defensive end. We need some work on that. And sometimes when you have those blocks, sometimes it's not – you're not doing the exact technique that someone taught you where it's like hitting your hands at this point. This is how you're – you know. Those guys are so much more athletic than you. And really, their whole job is to stay outside of you and not let you push them. And because of that, they can kind of play you differently than what you want, like what an interior defensive lineman could play, an interior offensive lineman. They can just stick that hand in your chest and just sit to the outside. Just like long arm you. And I used to watch film on guys and be like, what does he like to do when you're running inside zone to him or something like that? What is his defense versus that? And if guys never stuck that long arm, I would literally come up to them, moving my feet, not punching, waiting to punch, just holding my hands at my chest and wait for them to reach out to stab me and grab their hand or grab their wrist. Throw it off or slap it down and replace my hand inside because they're so like, oh, this is what I'm dependent on. You take it away from immediately. So there's just little stuff that you can do as a tackle to kind of take advantage of that. I'm sure Lance can get there. I'm sure Gunnelby can get there. It's just,
I do want,
let's do it.
Yeah. I do want to jump in real quick on that and say that one of the people we were talking to didn't even mention spot on before practice started that, you know, he's still young. He's got that. He's got great athleticism. He's got the great potential, but there is still things to work on. I mean, he's was just a freshman, you know, 18 or 19 years old. So I don't want it to sound negative. I think it's still just you see the potential. It's just he's still younger, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I would say pass pro is way more difficult than run blocking. So he's got the hard part down.
Right. What about some
other guy? William Satterwhite. So I was very excited to see William. I loved his high school tape. I thought he did a pretty good job at practice. He was playing some center, which I really like. He's got that kind of center body to him. And I think the coaches kind of trust him and his technique and what he can do. And I really liked like his double teams with the guards were really nice. He stayed square. He did something in a double team that a lot of guys sometimes struggle with, and it's setting up the defensive tackle for the double team. Like, people always imagine, oh, you're going to hit the guy at the exact same time in the double team. That's not always how it works. Really, when I'm double teaming a three technique and I'm at tackle with my guard is setting up the three technique for me to come in. I'm not getting there at the same time. It's a split second difference, but he's there first. And it's the same thing with the center guard double team. It's like the center's there first. He needs to set up that defensive line to be taken over by the guard. And I thought William did a good job of that, kind of getting underneath pads and lifting dudes and kind of exposing them to the guard. So I love William at that position.
That's not a surprise either, because on his film, you had talked about how he looked already like a good, mature tactician, did all those little things that some high schoolers don't.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, just confirming what I thought, which is what I love to see. And I already mentioned, like, Shamrod playing at guard. I like that. Just like, okay, let's play multiple positions here. Satterwhite. Let's see. Who else? Gage. Got to see Gage out there. You can tell Gage is just like a younger guy, Ginther. You know, doesn't kind of hesitant towards stuff because he's thinking a lot as he's going through stuff. But he's still just a good-sized kid. Also, Trevor Duncan. Did not expect Trevor to be on the offensive line. He's a defensive lineman at Catholic. But he's built for it. I mean, he has a frame on him. And he came into Tennessee as muscle. That's it. Like, he was never an offensive lineman, so he had to stay kind of trim to keep up his speed. And now it's like, just give me a little bit more weight so you're not getting pushed back and you're going to be fine. Like, he doesn't have to be 315. Like, stay 290 and keep your athleticism. You're going to be a great tackle, right? If he can, like, get the techniques down, that's going to be the hardest part for him. But it was, like, nice to see him in uniform and, like, standing out there. I was like, okay, I could see this actually working out really well because I've seen how athletic he is. You know, sometimes D linemen get a little upset. They feel like that's where their careers go to die. But sometimes it's very, very beneficial for guys to play a tackle instead of whatever they thought they were going to play. But yeah, offensive line, it was a good day. It was a good day on the line.
You know who I forgot to? You know who I forgot to look for, just do a walk by or ask you about, was our boy Max Anderson, because we love Gage, but I forgot to look for Max. I mean you do these breakdowns of these films and talk about them, and then I just forgot, and I tried to, knowing that you would be focused in that area, I tried to go look at DBs, linebackers. Walk down. But anyway, did you see Max or remember seeing Max or anything?
I don't remember seeing Max. I know he was practicing, but I don't remember like seeing him, watching him in a block or him popping out to me at all.
Gotcha. Okay. So O-line for me, real quick, a bunch of good-sized guys. You know, it was nice to see that. We're still looking good there. I know people want to say I'm not defending it one way or the other because I don't necessarily maybe have that opinion fully formed, but I know some people are worried about the people that Heupel or Glenn Ellerbe have recruited and compared to the guys that were there and, you know, the Jerome Carvins, the Darnell Wrights, those guys, the Coopers. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, all these boys that they've recruited the past couple of years, you know, looking good. I selfishly wanted Sham to be a little bit bigger on his up top, but he does just – that's his weight probably goes low, and he still is a great-sized kid. There was one guy I saw, like Carrick, for an older guy. I feel like he hasn't changed at all size-wise from the first time I saw him, but whatever. You know, if you're already 300, if you're getting stronger, that's all that really matters. But offensive line-wise, take with a grain of salt what we say about the D-line because mentioned a lot of the guys that are not practicing. So keep that. Anyways, let's go to quarterbacks. Let's go to quarterbacks. So – Nico still looks great, looks imposing, great size looking athlete, love his demeanor, you know, love all that. I don't know if my expectations are just so high because of everything that's talked about, all some of the splashes you've seen, but, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you were there with guys that were, you know, four-star guys, maybe some higher-level guys, but I don't know when I go and I see that, I just don't expect him to have a ball that's not catchable. And maybe that's wrong of me. I don't know. But obviously he's the starter. Obviously he's going to do some awesome, awesome things. I just hope. And maybe when he was recruited there and you start watching that stuff, I'm thinking this dude's going to be an absolute gunslinger and running will be second. Then you watch the Iowa game and you're like, not that he's going to be a run first, but maybe it's really going to be more of a 50-50 split because he is just such an athlete. And
I think it might lean towards that. And like he's not afraid to take off. You know, we always mentioned Hendon in that way of, man, when he knew that he could, he would take off. When he saw that it was man coverage and guys' backs were turned to him, or maybe he was like, there's one linebacker right here, I know I can beat him, he would take off and make a play. And Nico can do that so easily. Like, his mobility, his ability to get out of the pocket is going to be the most dangerous thing about his game because he's going to keep plays alive. He's going to get wide receivers, like, this is something they're going to need to work on literally in a specific drill of, hey, quarterbacks got out of the pocket, where are you running, wide receiver?
They will. Running?
Yeah. Like, this is going to happen a lot. Nico is going to move outside of the pocket but stay behind the line of scrimmage a lot. I'm already telling you.
And, yeah, and I could be wrong. I mean, we haven't seen the guy play an entire season. We've seen him play one game. But I really was thinking, okay, he's going to be the Hendon Hooker in the pocket, but then he's going to be even better outside of it. And I don't know, just some of the routes on air, just I was like, what are we doing here? I mean, it's a 20 yard. What?
I don't know. First, that's literally like the first thing they do at practice after they do their little stretches and warm ups. So I don't know. Sometimes it can be like, all right, we're getting into it. It's not quite there yet, but just wait till team.
Right. And that's why I was saying it could be a me thing. It could be wrong of me, just the extreme expectations that I think it's always not even going to be perfect, but just going to be really, really tight and really, really, you know, on point. But anyways, the backup, I think you and I both agree that it's definitely Gaston Moore just because of, I think experience. The dude's not – yeah, I don't think the dude's a bad player at all. I don't think that he's just getting the nod because of experience and older. But I mean, I think he can make the throws and run Heupel's offense and stuff like that. Yeah. And then for little Kirk Cousins, Jake Merklinger, thought he looked fine from what I saw. Yeah, I thought it was fine, you know. And
yeah, well, I thought you did okay. It's always really tough to tell on team when like O line just gets beat, and then you're like, okay, well, have no idea if the quarterback would have done the right thing in that moment, because it's like he's just trying to survive out there with the 3-0 line. So sometimes it's hard to tell with him, but yeah, I think Gasson Moore being the backup is an obvious play. It is, here's the veteran guy who's been in the same system, who isn't going to try and overshadow the starter, and like that, like that's almost exactly what you want as a backup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's also like he can share nuggets of information to Nico, because he's worked with Heupel so much in the past.
I agree completely. Running backs, this is intriguing to me, Kyler. I'll be honest. Receiver, running backs, and tight ends are all very intriguing to me. So we love Dylan. We mentioned it. He's slight. So you need 3 to 4 running backs going into a season. You truly do. Because the way that football's played now, 2 guys, maybe even 3, will get reps. One of those guys go down, then you're up on the list very quickly at running back. So Deshaun Bishop looked good. I know that you're going to hit on a point of something that he did nasty in the in team, but looked good. You know, Cam wasn't practicing. I think he's been out. I think that's known. And then you get Double K, you know, with Keith. It's just an intriguing year because I know people say, oh, they've seen Cam in the orange and white game. Cam sailed in the orange and white game in some plays here and there. But really, besides Dylan, you have guys that have not played true meaningful snaps that are going to be your backup / second starter, which means could potentially get 12 to 10 to 15 touches a game.
Yeah.
True sophomores. And then you got a Peyton that, you know, with Peyton, a true freshman with Peyton, that you and I both love this film and think the guy's going to be a stud. But how quick does he get up to the speed of the game? And I didn't get to see him. I don't think he's practicing. And so I didn't get to see him size-wise or in his pads. And, you know, besides how well does he do learning the playbook and learning the plays and with the ball in his hand, but what we always talk about, pass protection. So, you know, running back is very intriguing. I thought it was funny that today when I was working out and I see that the Hayden guy, forget his first name, from Ohio State, which his dad played here, and he went to Memphis. He was in Memphis. He went to Christian Brothers. He went to Ohio State out of high school, and it was between Tennessee and Ohio State. Like, that does seem, because someone tweeted out, this has to be us, right? And it does seem like a very natural fit. Your dad played here. You're from Tennessee. We have some question marks in the backfield. So I just thought it was fun. I'm recording now. I saw that an hour ago. But I don't know. I'm just very intrigued. It's not that I'm necessarily worried about it, but I haven't seen it. And I, as much as I love Dylan, and I think Dylan's going to be really good for us, the guy has to have at least one other running mate. And then we have to have someone else that is going to step in when someone does get a bummed ankle.
Yeah. The bummed ankle part is what worries me. What I was able to see from Bishop makes me feel pretty good. First with Dylan, it's so funny. They were doing a one-on-one tackling drill to kind of start the practice. This is like the first drill they did as soon as you left. And it was, you know, DB facing this way, running back facing this way. They run opposite, wrap around a cone, and come back towards each other. There's about 5 yards wide in the sideline, and it's, hey, can you get past them, whatever. It's obviously made for the offense, right? Like, it's harder for the defender to make the tackle, which I'll touch on later when we talk about defense. But still, Dylan Sampson is so hard to tackle for some reason. There were multiple times where I watched him go. Everybody got like 5 or 6 reps because it's like so fast. You go back the line so fast. I watched him go a few times, And it's like he wouldn't even really make a move on a guy. He'd like do a little bit, but then just run, and the guy would hit him and try and tackle and just roll off of him, literally roll off of him. I'm like, how did he just do that? I don't know. Like, I don't know how he broke that tackle, because the defender, he didn't shake him. He was there to make the tackle. Dylan just always makes him slip, which is like such a cool thing about him. Dylan is one of those guys that I feel like can be super, super successful and so like under the radar the entire year. Like, teams are going to be talking about Nico, and they're going to be talking about Brew, and they're going to be talking about like all these other guys. And Dylan's going to be the one who's like just messing them up. And then Bishop. So getting to watch Bishop, watching him in that tackling drill, he had some good moves. I liked it. I liked what I saw. Then we get to team. Two different plays. One, he escapes the backfield, stayed into block. Nobody came, so he leaks out to the right side. Nico's getting pressure. Nobody's open downfield. He dumps it to him. Bishop isn't even facing upfield when he catches the ball. He has to turn and look. T-Lander's coming downhill, coming to him. He puts a move on T-Lander and just makes him stop in his tracks, and he runs right by him. And I was like, oh, as I'm saying, I'm like, oh, shit. About 15 yards later, runs over a DB. Just puts his head down and boom, runs him over to try and get to the end zone. And the entire offensive sideline just got hype as hell. Just started hooting and hollering, jumping up and down. And I'm like, that was my first like introduction to Bishop in a way. Was like, it was like the second play of the team. I'm like, okay, this guy can do it. This guy's legit. Like, yeah, he's a walk-on, but like I just saw what he was able to do, his skill set, and what he was like wanting to do, right? I'm not going to shy away from contact. I'm going to run over this dude. And then, you know, twos went, threes went, ones came back up, Bishops was with the ones, and he has a great blitz pickup on a linebacker. And I'm like, all right, I'm sold. I'm good. Like,
if you remember, I need to see. If you remember last year, we're watching practice when we were both there the full time, and we see the blitz pick up. We're like, who the f- is that? Literally, we said, I looked at you, I said, bro, who's 25? And I was, you're like, I don't know. And I was like, that was an awesome play. We like scroll it, look, we're like, holy crap, that's Carnes boy, Deshaun Bishop. We're like,
yeah,
that was nice. And so it was. We've been to two practices, and he immediately is like, and I know, and I remember last year, you and I don't keep up with like the message boards. We don't read other stuff a lot. We kind of like to form our own opinion. But I remember then talking with a buddy who does read all that stuff, and he's like, yeah, like there's been some buzz. So it's good to hear that it sounds like it was true. And I was like, I didn't know there was buzz, but I can promise you he stuck out to me. And then now this year, it's already hit that again. So really, really cool to see and to hear that. And I love the fact that he did both. Or technically, he did all three. He trucks a guy, he makes a guy miss by a juke, and he gets a nice blitz pickup. So super awesome to hear. And the other thing is, too, I don't like using the comparison because AK was awesome. But AK is the guy who was the slider build that guys would get a shot on him and it just looked weird. Like it didn't affect him.
Yeah.
It didn't affect him. AK was a smaller guy than Jalen Hurd, but it looked like guys could get a big hit on Jalen Hurd and he would bounce off, but it looked like it would mess up his running track. AK just like kept going, and Dylan's the exact same way. Dylan single-handedly, in a way, makes me feel comfortable in saying that he was single-handedly closed out the Kentucky game. I mean, was one
no,
of
he
the
really
top.
Did.
Yeah, I mean, making some of those just effort plays, and so I'm very excited about him. I love everything that you see and the attitude and all the stuff that you hear about him. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear that you feel that way about Deshaun Bishop. I'm good with running backs. I'm ready to move on to tight end. If you're good,
yeah, tight end. I already mentioned Holden Tate stays. Is that how you say it? S-T-A-E-S?
I'm not sure. Not sure.
I guess.
I'm going to say Holden.
Yeah, just say Holden. Good size.
Excuse me.
I was able to see him do a couple run blocks and work with Lance and some double teams. And I thought he did a good job there. I thought he was under control. And, man, he fits a good mold and seems like a more athletic version of Jacob Warren. Like, I love Jacob, but, like, he seems like a little bit quicker of a version of Jacob.
Whoa.
Now, so Jacob's blocking is probably going to be better than Holden's because Jacob's size, he's bigger than Holden. Jacob was huge. But, yeah, that athleticism, I mean, he's not on the athlete
Princeton.
Yeah, that Princeton was at, but he still can move when he wants to and make guys like, hey, you're gonna have to really try and cover me.
Okay. Well, you saw more than I did. I thought size wise he looked good. On the couple of the routes I saw, I thought it was pretty slow. But then again, maybe it's because he's, you know, the tight ends are going the same time as the receivers are, but I just saw the very first one. And I'm putting myself in a safety, you know, and when I was at Memphis and you're doing, I don't know how UT plays it. I think it's about the same. You're about 10 to 12 if you're a safety and you're a man coverage with a tight end. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like he went up, he did the stick nod and then kind of broke out, hit him right in the chest and he dropped it. I just didn't think it looked super smooth or super athletic. And I was sitting there thinking, I was like, bro, I think I'm sitting at 10 yards. He gets to me. We both engage and then he goes that way. And like, it didn't. I'm surprised that you thought that he was more athletic than Jacob, because I thought Jacob, I'm not saying that he was super athletic, but I thought he was pretty athletic. Not to say that he was, like you said, Princeton or Cali, but there was that was my only experience with him. Was that so yeah. Size wise good, but I left that day thinking he's probably going to be more of a blocker, and it kind of ties into something that I'm going to get in. But I thought the Miles Kittlesman. I remember when I saw him and I was like, he was coming out of like, we were there watching all these guys kind of run out. I was like, who is that guy? Yeah. And I was like, who is 87? You're like, I'm not sure. And then when I got home and I looked at it, I was like, oh yeah, I remember him. I remember being the transfer. Like, now he looked like good size. I thought he moved pretty well for his size. I thought he was pretty athletic. So that was a guy that caught my eye just naturally off watching him run, watching him move. And then Luke Schaus, number 44, I thought he looked pretty athletic during his just moving around, doing some routes on air, doing some of that stuff. Ethan is obviously Ethan's going to have a lot on his plate, and I mean opportunity-wise, if he can pick it all up, because he's definitely going to be the most gifted, the most talented,
and the
most offensive threat. So is he playing the Princeton in the Cali role, and then you have Hayden playing the Jacob Warren role? We'll wait and see that. You and I loved Ethan as a true freshman last year when we were practicing. We were very blown away, very impressed. Didn't see him. I did not see him this time.
I think just called it out exactly how it's going to play out. Like, it is going to be like Ethan's the athletic role, the Castle's the Princeton, and Holden is the Jacob Warren of it. Because one side, Ethan is athleticism. The other part of it is there is an obvious connection with Nico and Ethan. Obvious. You can tell. Like, you see it. That is a guy Nico trusts already. So I just automatically am like, he's going to look for him on a 3rd and 6. Yeah. That's who he's looking for.
Well, like the running back room as a competitor, you have to be, I mean, if you are a Miles coming in, if you are a Luke Schaus, if you are a Charlie Browder, I guess, of the guy, big tall guy who was there but got hurt. I mean, at the tight end room, I mean, there's just a lot of opportunity there. And we do have a lot of good-sized big boys. And but like I said, obviously Ethan is the most potent when it comes to an offensive threat. So it's just something that, like, even I am usually not – I don't usually care about an orange and white game. When there are very solidified people that you know, it's like, okay, cool, let's watch some of their backups and watch some of the young guys. But legitimately, and I'm not saying it's going to tell us who the starter is, but I'm excited to see some of these other tight ends – to see if there's any little inkling, not by the reps they get or who they're playing with, but if they just do anything that I feel like, oh, okay, I can see that translating skill-wise of running, catching, blocking, whatever the case may be. So I'm just very fascinated by the tight end because sneakily, I mean, Princeton, Callie, and Jacob, I'm not going to say that they were great or super good or world beaters, but we've been pretty damn solid at that position for the past 2 years. And it's a very important position for Heupel because of how much he uses them as the H-back blocking. But when we start going fast, they also have to be able to not be a complete liability in the passing game. So it's just, I'm just very intrigued by it.
Yeah. I mean, you said it perfect, the liability. Like, I haven't felt like any of those tight ends are like, oh, this is a liability to have him in the game. Like, they've done a very, like, pretty damn good job over the past 4 years, now 4 years under Heupel.
Yeah. So I will actually be interested to see that in the orange and white game. Wide receiver, I personally can't forget about Brew. I just can't forget about him because of the injury, because of all the young guys, the transfers. It's like, hey, don't forget. And that's a really nice ace in the hole to have. I'm not saying that you all forgot about him. I'm saying me personally. And it's like, obviously he's not going to be practicing. He's going to be doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's don't get so worried yet, Reed. Like, you still have a very key cog that can do it all, whether it's taking it over the top, catch the 5 yard hitch, make it. So that makes me feel better. Dante, like I said, super imposing. I mean, that is a guy that looks like he should be able to do pretty much whatever he wants on a football field. But you and I have been around long enough. These fans have been watching ball long enough. Sometimes it always doesn't translate to, like, wow, 6'5", 200, runs like a deer. And it's like, okay, he goes out and he has, you know, 25 catches on the year for 500 or 600 yards and a couple tutties. And it's like, okay, not bad, but that's not what we're expecting. You know, so, you know, looks good, but I still we'll wait and see. I still have some pretty good hope. Squirrel is Squirrel. Looks good. I love Squirrel. I've loved him since we broke down his film. Is he going to make the next step? I personally feel like if he stays the same, he's still a good player. I do feel I have some expectations. Like, okay, you've played as a freshman, you've played as a sophomore. Do you have that one more step in you to be a legit game changer that everyone in the SEC knows your name?
I need you to be Kadarius Toney. That's what I want.
Do you have that in your game? So I don't know, you know. And then lastly, I'll hit these, and then I'll hear you. Caleb Webb, you know, is you know, still there. I feel like I want a little bit more from him, and I don't think that's a bad thing to say. You know, he's now there. They've given him some opportunities. It just hasn't necessarily matched up with maybe size, speed, potential. I feel like Chaz Nimrod, bro, is going to continue to be in the mix, and he's always been in the mix. And it's the same thing. If you go back and watch the pod that we did about his high school, I said it then. I said he does nothing great, but he does everything good. Mm-hmm. I said for a high school receiver coming out of Arkansas, I felt like he did everything. Like he was a deep slant or a go route, a deep post, a slant, a hitch, a bubble, blocking, everything. And then he's kind of the forgotten man because of all these big potential guys that we have. But it's like Chaz goes out and beats a guy deep in Kentucky, makes a catch. You know, there's been some times where he does do a hitch route and it hits him in the chest and he drops it. And it's like, hey, that's a big second and eight that we needed that, or that's a big third and five, we needed that. Is he going to be able to separate when we need him to? Because he's not necessarily an elite athlete, good mm-hmm. athlete, but not elite. So, but I still think he's going to be consistently in the mix.
Yeah.
And then I personally didn't see the two freshmen that we both love. We both love Braylon Staley. Obviously, Mike Matthews, we've heard great things, but I didn't really see or notice much of them in the time there. But mm-mm. the receiving core, I still feel pretty good about it. But there's still some of that. For me, we got Brew. Squirrel, is he going to be Squirrel, or is he going to take another step? And who's the next? What do you think?
I mean, I'm in exactly the same boat. Brew, Squirrel, and who else? I think Dante is the one that they want to be the next. They've got him as an outside receiver. Now they're not having him run any routes as a slot. And it's like, hey, are you going to be another hitch guy on the sideline that can be that security blanket for the quarterback? Because that's what this offense has lived off of for a while now, is you are spread out wide. You and the corner are the only ones out there, and we're going to throw it to you on hitches and comebacks a lot. Whenever they give us the opportunity, that's what we're going to take. And it's, hey, can you run the right route? Can you break at the right spot you're supposed to? Because there's shit like that happens all the time where they said, you get to 12, you turn, you run back 3, and motherfuckers start turning at 10, and it throws off everything. Quarterback is thinking you're turning at 12. He's throwing it at 10. Now he's throwing it over your head. So it's like little stuff like that. Can we get right? So I think it's a big year for Dante. I think, like you said, Caleb Webb, Nimrod, it's kind of like, what are you guys going to do? Right? Where are you? This is your chance right now. This is it. This is where it's open. It wasn't open with Brew and
Cedric
and Jalen. Like, it was not open. It wasn't open at all. You're the backup. Now it is. Here we go. What are you going to do? Are you going to try and take advantage of that? So, I liked what I saw out of Nimrod last year. Now, there were times where he dropped balls and we needed him to make it, but it was also like, this is his really first time getting out there. So I wasn't holding him too high of a expectation from him, but just seeing the glimpses of what he could do and seeing like effort he would put in trying to get downfield, make a block for a running back or another wide receiver. It's like, okay, let's see how this can progress in him. So I would say I'm a little bit more on his radar than I am Caleb Webb's, but we'll see. We'll see what they're able to do.
Anything from the two true freshmen? Did you see anything that popped out, noticed anything special?
No. Didn't see anything special. It wasn't like a big play that we've seen in the past of big catches or anything like that. So
okay.
Didn't see anything out of them, but that doesn't mean they're not making some plays out there.
Right.
So
the thing I'll say about wide receivers is there was a point where you and I were sitting up there in the South Carolina game, and I made a point. I said, I don't see some of these receivers getting free. You know, there were times where I felt like they got kind of locked up, and it's because maybe they are good athletes, not exceptional. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's good size and jumping ability and can win the ball, like a Sed, or just world-class speed like a Jalen. So it's, I just want to see if someone can take that potential and go to the next step. So I guess that wraps up offense. Yeah. So defense, D-line, man. So these are the nuggets that we were given by a coach mm-hmm. or
strength coach.
Well, don't see what kind of coach. Don't say, because I was going to say, this person, he's not just a strength coach meathead. He played at Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, was talking about the D-line and was saying it's nasty. Like, it's a joke what they've been doing. He also said, hey, take it with a little bit of a grain of salt because of some of the offensive line who have been missing and who've not been practicing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both know that in spring practice and in fall camp, when it starts, the defense usually is ahead of the offense. It's kind of the natural thing of football.
Yeah.
But let me just do something for you real quick. You ready?
I'm ready for you.
Amari Thomas. Bryson Eason.
Dangerous.
Elijah Simmons. Omar Norman Lott. Mm-hmm. Dominic Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Joseph. Mm-hmm. James Pierce. Tyree West. David Hobbs. All guys that are returning and all guys that have played and some guys that have played at a very, very high level. Yeah. Very high level. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 dudes.
That's a lot.
If they are on the field, I feel really good about
it. Uh-huh.
Any combination, however you want to mix and mash it. Then you have Jackson Moya, who I called baby Aaron Donald when I first saw him because of his swag. You have Tyree Weathersby and Nathan Robinson. I'm naming those guys because I physically saw them and I was like, who are these guys? Like, is that who I think it is?
Nathan didn't even look like the same person.
And I saw number 99 out there and I'm like, who's little Aaron Donald out here? Because he had the long leggings, the spat, the long sleeves with the left wristband 99 looking just like Aaron Donald. I'm like, dude looks like a good athlete. So I asked the coach that we're standing there talking, I was like, who's 99? He's like, Jackson Moa, the transfer. I was like, oh yeah, totally forgot about him. You know, by the end of the season, you and I have been doing this so much, these transfers and these recruits, like I'm kind of like, I need a break from it. I'm like, I forgot about him. And the way he looks and the coach that we were talking to is like, dude, is nasty. Like, he's been good. Then he points out, and he's like, and I'm like, who's 94? And he's like, yeah, that's Nathan Robinson. I'm like,
Didn't even realize it was him, bro.
And I was like, Nathan Robinson, the guy who was like a three-star from here in Tennessee somewhere that Kyler and I watched, and we're like, yeah, we liked him. You know, we were a little bit worried about his speed. We're like, maybe he bulks up, but – dude's a legit sophomore in college, so a redshirt freshman, and they moved him inside, and he looks like an absolute unit because he's got a good frame. I mean, 6'6", 288, and if he kept some of that speed from where he was playing the outside in high school and they move him in, and this coach is like, hey, he's been doing some stuff. He's been impressive.
Yeah.
Then you have Tyrese Weatherby, who came in that class, who also was like, we liked him. We saw some good potential. Physical player, was maybe a little bit worried about the foot speed, but we're getting some good feedback on him. Both guys who were injured, but who have sounded like, and we have been told that they have constantly put in effort to get mm-hmm. to his spot. Yep. Okay. So then we get hit with this nugget of we get told from this coach. Now, this is not the coach's opinion. This is an opinion of another coach who played at Tennessee, who was very, very good, who had he got drafted, I think, first or second round, had a good NFL career. He maybe or maybe didn't coach at Knoxville Catholic, and now he's on staff at Tennessee. But I would trust what he says about defensive line play, and he proclaims that David Hobbs has the potential to be one of the best D linemen to come through Tennessee. That's a large statement. If you say that, some of the D-line that have come through on Rocky Top have been Hall of Fame in the NFL, have been Hall of Fame in college, have been perennial All-Pros, Pro Bowls. Like, that's a statement. I looked and you were like, really? I said, bro, like, I was pretty impressed with some of the stuff I saw as a freshman besides the terrible number of 53. I said, but Kyler, do you not remember coming out? He's a five-star. And I remember watching this highlight tape out of high school, and I'm like, this guy's playing D-line. He's out here catching passes and outrunning folks at a tight end at his size of, you know, I forget what he was listed in high school, but, you know, Tennessee now has him listed as 6'4", 290. 6'4", 290 and leaving people. Now, once again, it goes back to if you're 6'4", 290 and you got good feet and good hands, watch out. So, yeah. And I also made a comment to that coach. I said, you know, when he was talking about how good the D-line's been looking, I said, well, I talked to Kyler and thought that it was pretty funny that Tim Banks, the second day of spring practice, was talking about how we could have one of the best D-lines in the country. And I told Kyler, I said, you usually don't hear stuff like that. Because they're usually like wanting these guys to continue working, continue to progress, continuing to get better. But when you have the confidence to come out and say that, and it's only the second day of spring practice, like you must have some absolute just problems and issues with, like, meaning these guys are going to wreak absolute chaos. So, and I love it. I love it because if you got a good quarterback, if you got a D-line, you can compete in about pretty much any football game. And I know even for people that don't get to go to practice, go to watch YouTube, watch one of the moves that they put on that Eli or that Elijah Simmons with his hands and beat a guy, or Jackson Moa hit Buddy with an old Dwight Freeney spin move and cooked him. I don't care who it was that he cooked. I don't care if it was a walk-on. That guy looked like he barely got hands on Jackson Moa. And so anyway. I'll stop gushing, but I couldn't be more excited to see those guys.
No, I mean, the D-line is going to be absolute game wreckers. You know, you mentioned the nine guys, and it's like you don't even, like, mention Elijah Simmons, who's just like a hoss out there for a few plays.
I mentioned him.
But the full group of guys that you just went through, it's like multiple, like, games of experience for each one of them. Really good plays we've seen out of every single one of them. I, like, that's the one thing you always worry about with D-line is, like, oh, I can have these guys, but don't have depth. We've got depth. We got depth on D-line. I can rotate in a new four and feel the exact same way. So that just gives me so much confidence for our defense moving forward. And those guys really shocked me seeing them in person. I did not expect the transfer, the Mao guy, to be that big. I did not expect Nathan Robinson to be that big. I did not expect the body on those guys. And to see that, like, they put in work, they were able to do that. It's just like, Rodney Garner has done such a good job with this entire position group in recruiting and in development. He's such a freaking boss. It was hilarious, dude. He had a cane at the practice the other day. And he was literally like yelling at the D-line and then just like literally like pimp walking back to like stand like 15 yards back away as he watched his team and like turn around and like lean on it. And I just thought it was the funniest thing in the world because, like, Rodney Garner is such a I don't give a shit about anything. Like, I'm doing it my way. And just to see him out there with a cane, like, pimp walking all these fools, I loved it.
It was funny to see that. And I hope for Tennessee and for wins and losses that a lot of these guys get to stay healthy. Obvious statement.
Yeah.
I want to see these guys stay healthy as a group. I know we have good depth. And so I know if a guy gets injured, there's someone going to be there to help replace. I want to see these all guys stay healthy to see what they can do as a unit and as a group, meaning where do we finish the year with sacks, tackles for loss.
I want this to be a story like the 2010 Titans.
Yeah.
With the D-line, that it was like they won 13 games and it was the D-line. That was it. That was why we won.
By the way, very slept on total defense in the NFL. I went and read an article about a year ago on the top 20 defenses in NFL history, and the Titans had two of them on there because we had the one in the early 2000s when we were really good. And then they had that one on there that people forget, Kyle Vandenbosch, William Hayes, Albert Haynesworth in a contract year, and Javon Kearse.
Yeah, dude, they were messing people up.
Messing people up. Okay, so I feel great about defensive line. These next two positions, we got some worry. Go ahead and start off with linebacker.
Yeah, so at linebacker, there's a few guys that aren't practicing. So, you know, you get the second round, I guess I would say. I start with T-Lander. Still looking like a good-sized dude. I don't think he can get any bigger at this point to, like, depreciating value, like taking away his speed and athleticism if he gets bigger. So I thought he looked good. I thought he showed some flashes of good stuff. But, like, you know, like that Bishop play I was describing earlier. Like, buddy got stopped in his tracks. So it's like there's still some vulnerability there. Watching a couple of the other guys, man, it's just they seem so light, honestly. Like I look at them out there and I'm seeing I just feel like as an offensive lineman, when I look at them, like, oh, I could throw that dude around. Like I could grab a hold of him and take him where I want him to go. And that's never a good sign. That's never a good sign when you're looking at those guys. And I guess like outside linebackers in that realm of like Caleb Herring, like I'm not seeing what I want to see out of Caleb. I'm not seeing the burst and the explosion and the just working hands and getting speed off the edge and being able to drop back. Like, I'm just not seeing it yet. That doesn't mean it can't happen. But at this point, it's just not there for me. And then, like, Chidavion Bradley, who's kind of in that same realm as him. Man, that guy's thin. I see him and there's – no fear whatsoever. Like, at least with a thin guy like a Dante Fowler, who was thinnish, his athleticism was out of this world, and you could tell immediately. Chidavion's he's not Dante Fowler, obviously. He's not getting picked third overall in the draft next year. You know, does he have potential? Can he get to that kind of realm? Yeah, I think so. But Buddy either needs to legit start working on his athleticism, more movements, more stuff, or he needs to put on some weight because he's light in the pants. And that's an easy block for your boy at tackle. Other guys... trying to think who I remember watching. Jalen Smith. Same thing kind of with him. He feels small to me. 227, 6'1". Now, that might not be really small, but I guess it does from like a 300-pounder's perspective. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't want to rip on these guys. And they're probably not going to be the starters, but it's like, I didn't get to see who I'm presuming is going to be the two starting middle linebackers. Like, I didn't get to see them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I, you know, 6'1, 230 is 6'1, 230. It is what it is, what it is. But I can promise you, it comes in a lot of different forms and fashions that when I see it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm 6'1", 230. I can also tell you there's some dudes in the NFL that are 6'1", 230, and they look unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I mean, they look like that's what I want as a middle linebacker. That's who I want, you know, protecting me in a fight. You know, like,
seriously.
You know,
I mean, we were talking about it at the very start of practice. We were like, God, they seem just small.
And well, and I was going to bring up, I mean, we are right next to T-Lander, right next to him. And I said, as a true freshman, I thought he was decent size as a true freshman. I think he still looks decent now, and he's still a legit 6 foot or 6'1", whatever they had listed at, 225, 230. But it still wasn't like I looked and you're like, yeah, it looks pretty good, but we feel like he maxed out his frame. And it's just because, and once again, as a fan, this is me just wanting a Georgia, LSU, Alabama, even a Mississippi State. Linebackers are more recent than Tennessee, like we had in the 90s and early 2000s. So I'm not saying Tennessee hasn't had these dogs. It's just been a little bit. But where's our guy that's like the 6'2", 230, but it's like, wow, that dude does look like Byron Young. Now, again, Byron Young was a defensive end outside linebacker for us, not a middle linebacker. So
I think Jeremy Banks was the closest to that look.
Yeah. You know, Aaron Carter's not practicing. Elijah Herring wasn't practicing. Keenan Peely was there at the beginning, but you know, I don't know how much he practiced when I left. And it's, I don't know, man. I think everyone has a bad taste in their mouth about how bad that looked. And I just personally, as much as I love Heupel, I'm going to be bummed if we roll out there this year and the linebacker play is not any better. Because I'm like, what the did we do to could he get better? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the University of Tennessee. You're telling me we can't find one dog at linebacker every year? I mean, no offense, but even when you were there, like Jalen Reese-Maven was good. And after that, it was like, okay, if he gets injured, and we had damn Colton Jumper out there doing everything he could, but he shouldn't have been a middle linebacker in the SEC. We had the Kirkland guy who looked good and moved well, but it never really panned out for a four-star guy. So I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's a worry. It's a worry for me. It's either, if you're lighter, you better be super instinctive and super fast and not let guys get your hands on you. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? It's not that we don't like how the effort that they play with, or we love how T-Lander will stick his nose into anything, but sometimes it's not smart to stick your nose in it when you're blocking him, because that's kind of what you want in a way. Just from what I saw, it didn't give me any. I was hoping to get there and feel a little bit better about what I saw. I didn't. So I don't know. It's still a worry for me, which is probably not what everyone wants to hear. Finish up on DBs.
I mean, they want to hear it because they want to hear the truth. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
DBs. Yeah.
There was some good stuff that I saw out of the DBs. DBs was it's a position that had some worry to it as well because of all the guys who left. But just like trying to watch new guys there. I said this earlier, but watching the tackling drill, and like I said, it was meant for offense, right? It is more helpful to the offense than the defense. And every single time I saw Boo Carter go, he made a tackle. Every single time. He did not miss one. And I'm like, that's impressive. Okay, this drill's meant for the offense to have success here, and you're still making every single tackle, and people might not consider you a tackler, right? Me, for instance. I wasn't ever like, look at this defensive guy. Look at this defensive stud. I was always in my head, offense, offense, offense. Now he goes out there, and I see the first drill he's in, and he makes every tackle. And I'm like, okay. I already know you're athletic.
Were they taken to the ground, or were they just thumping and rapping?
No, they were taken to the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was firing. He was going fast. He wasn't letting like the hesitation catch him. And you've already seen his athleticism. It just like makes me feel good about Boo moving forward. Now, not to say that I saw him do a bunch of, you know, great hip movement when he's covering a guy one-on-one or anything like I didn't see that, but I know he's athletic. I know that he could probably stay with dudes. He's fast. It's like, I wanted to see that tackling out of him, and I got to see it. So it made me feel good about what he can be. Now, some of the other new guys, some of the transfers, I thought we had good size out there. We were talking about that, and it was like, what are you really looking for in a corner and a DB size-wise? And it's like, listen, if they're around 5'11", 190, I'm cool. Like, I'm cool with that. That like, I want them to be quick and fast, and that's what matters. Jermod McCoy transfer, I was watching him a lot, and he was going with the ones at corner. And I saw a play during team where Dante was on the outside and shifted, like, down closer, took his route, ran a post corner, and McCoy stayed with him the whole time. Was able to, like, flip hips, like, oh, I'm going to be there if you run that post. Then he goes to the corner, stays with him. Nico tries to get him the ball, but ends up, like, kind of pushing him out of bounds to an extent. Like, Nico had to place it over top. And I was like, that's a damn good play by McCoy. He doesn't, you know, overreact to the little motion. He stays with his man. He's able to, on a route that is meant to kind of get him going one way, recover and stay with him, and then make it almost impossible for the completion to happen. He didn't bat the ball away. He didn't, you know, make a big hit or whatever, but it was, hey, I made your life pretty difficult because I stayed in this hip pocket. So I was like, all right, that's what I like to see. You know, when they were doing the team that I was able to see, it's like they were going 25, 30 yard line in. So didn't really get to see like deep routes on these guys, right? Go routes, maybe a little like sluggos, hitch and go, try and get them off their feet. But I don't know. Like it made me feel better watching practice, because going into practice, I was like, here's a blank slate that I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, so very, very – by the way, I've been cooking farts over here, bro. Have you been hearing any of these? I'm just ripping them off the seat.
No, I have not heard one. Don't worry about it.
I mean, my audio – I'm just telling you guys, if you guys are listening to this or watching it on YouTube, I'm not trying to hide it. I'm just trying to be professional because they seem to always happen when you're talking. But, I mean, I am just – I mean, I'm ripping.
What's the smell like in there? Golly.
No, it actually smells fine. They're just very, very gassy farts, very airy farts. And they're loud. I'll be interested to see if I can hear them. But anyways.
Nathan, let us know if you can hear them. Also, give me a count on Reed's hair touches, please.
I don't think it's a 10 yet, honestly.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I thought 10 and a half was a good number.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I hit it. I was touching it a lot early, but I don't know. Anyways, take it with a grain of salt, but who I thought looked like were out there with the ones were Jermod McCoy, give me a second, Andre Turrentine.
Yep.
So it was Turrentine at safety, Jermod McCoy at corner, Ricky Gibson at the opposite side corner, Jordan Thomas at the star/nickel, which I think is a super good spot for him if his foot speed is there. And then Jacoby Thomas from Middle Tennessee was at safety. So it was Thomas and Turrentine at the safeties. Outside was Oregon State and Ricky Gibson. And then, like I said, Jordan Thomas. Jordan Thomas and look good. Now, I thought it was a bunch of DBs is what I saw. And once again, I don't think it's unfair for me to ask for the University of Tennessee to have one or two guys that are a little bit imposing in speed and size wise. I don't, if Georgia, if LSU, if Alabama, if some other SEC schools can have those guys. Kyler, if I was at the University of Memphis and there was a couple of guys there that were 6'2 and a half, maybe pushing 6'3, 205, and looked like NFL caliber safeties. Now, I know that one of them transferred from Florida State because he got kicked out, but dude looked the part, ran the part. And I'm thinking, I still want to see one of those at the University of Tennessee during Heupel's time. That doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. That doesn't mean that these guys aren't going to be good. But I told you, and I said, it looks like it's going to be the newcomer and transfer show. And, you know, I know Turner Tine's been there. He is a transfer, but he's been there a hot minute. You and I love Jordan Thomas coming out because he is that thicker kind of safety that can absolutely strike people. So I think that
I think that might be the closest one right now to what you're looking for.
Yeah, you and I love Ricky Gibson coming out. We love Jordan Matthews coming out that same class. But I do feel good about Jacoby Thomas from Middle Tennessee State. I think it's MTSU, but that guy was still a good player in that conference. And then the Oregon State with I just don't want to mess these guys' names up because there's so many new ones, but with Jermon McCoy. And then even number 12 with Jalen McMurray, who was also another transfer from Temple. All those guys, I'm still like, I was happy kind of with what I saw. I wish I would have gotten to watch a little bit longer to see how I thought that they kept up. If they stayed hip pocket, like you were talking about, how that speed, because speed is something, you know, we went a lot of years with Trey Flowers, Tank McCullough, back at safeties. You know, we had Theo Jackson the first year with Heupel. Who was the star position last year?
Wesley Walker.
Yeah. So we had Wesley and Tamarian, which, once again, all those guys were that Madden rating of 78 to 82, 83, had moments of pretty good, had some moments that we would have liked to see different. Once again, that's one of the reasons I don't think they're here anymore, because the team's like, all right, we got to get athletic quicker. Now, maybe the coaches already know that that's the case. I personally haven't seen that. I will say this about the freshmen that I've seen. All those freshmen already look mixed in, like they fit size and speed-wise with these other dudes. Like, you know, Idris Farouk, I saw him. We saw Marcus Gore Jr. And we're like, wow, this guy's already looked like these other older classmen do. You know, so what are some of the second-year guys that have been there? Do they take a step? You know, so yeah, I've heard some great things about Boo. Obviously, you're talking about Boo. That is one of those things that he's got the speed. I mean, he ran away from everybody in high school on the offensive side, so that means that he should be able to stay with just about anyone on the defensive side. So that is a guy who's going to be more athletic than a Wesley Walker or Tamarian McDonald. Does he put it together? What's that?
How can he use it?
Bingo. So, yeah, I still, you know, I'm still very much, like I said, this team for me is a lot of wait and see and excited, hopeful, but there is some nerves of tight end, of receiver, definitely of linebacker, and a little bit of corner. So, you know, I wish I would have left feeling a little bit better, but it's okay. I mean, it's okay. Yeah. I'm excited to watch. Like I said, orange and white game this year is pretty exciting because there's a lot of new. Last year it was status quo and Nico. This year it's a lot of positions that are open and available. So
yeah, exactly. It's crazy how much turnover has happened and how much of a new team it is. But yeah, it's kind of. I need to see some things in the orange and white game and possibly see some things in a fall camp practice to really give me the confidence of being like, this is going to be a huge year for us. Because I know some people are like at that point, like, oh yeah, Nico's here now. It's going to be great. Well, let's make sure we have every other piece too. I know quarterback's the most important, but you need 22 total dudes, offense, defense, and then another 11 on special teams. It's like, it's not just one. So
I don't want it next year where next year and we think that Nico's gone. You know, if he plays well this year and then plays great next year and he's gone to the NFL, I don't want it to be so much pressure going into the next year. Like, we have to maximize this his last year. We get 2 years with him for sure. Let's maximize both of them the best we can. And since there is transfer portal and NIL and all this stuff, then it is kind of like NFL free agency. It is CJ Stroud on a rookie contract. Go do everything you can to bring in these other pieces. And I love Coach Heupel. I pretty much loved everything about him since he's been here. I still think he's a fantastic coach, but I will be slightly frustrated if I go out and watch some of the same linebacker play and some of the same DB play. How do we not go find someone different and to replace those positions? Not meaning that they're not as if they're not bad and they're okay. Like, there were times last year where they were pretty awful. And so it's a little bit maybe more difficult to go from like a B plus to an A. Like, that could be a little bit more difficult to find and to get them to attract in Tennessee. But if you're out there running out dudes that are putting grades up that are F's and D's, you can't go find me a plus B minus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the entire landscape of college football and the resources we have. So that's the only thing that makes me a little worried.
Yeah. I'm with you. I just, now the way that it is now, there's a totally different expectation set of like, you can go get whoever you need. You have a need, go get it. It's open now.
And it's probably not fair, but it's just like, you go see a linebacker who's at fucking Tulane. You see a linebacker who's at Florida Atlantic. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? How did we not get that guy? And I get that it's not a perfect science, but it makes it a lot easier when you can go, this guy's been in college football for 2 years. As a freshman, he led the team in tackles. I turned the film on. He looked great. As a sophomore, he was like one of the defensive players in their conference. Like, yeah, don't give some college guy or high school kid the money. Like, go get this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
See you, brother.
Let's pick those little guys from the smaller schools.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Good pod.
Adios.
Adios, muchacho. All right. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. If you are watching, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, leave a comment. If you're just listening, rate and review, download, re-download, follow us on those listening platforms. Also follow us on social media at Pancakes and Bacon for our main account on Twitter, at Pancakes and Bacon _RTI on Instagram. If you want to follow Reed, that is just at rbacon26 for him. And then myself is just at Kyler Kurbison on all social medias. So check me out. And thank you guys so much for being great fans. I hope you enjoyed our little practice breakdown. And as always, go Vols.